Hi, I'm Monica Packer, and you're listening to About Progress, where we are about progress made practical. Do you ever have that kind of weird feeling that maybe we are all in the Truman Show and our real lives are being recorded and documented and disseminated throughout the entire world? And I definitely have that weird feeling here and there, but never did I worry about that so much than when I had my first few public conversations after the pandemic. The reason why I was so worried, like, oh my goodness, did other people see? Did other people hear? Is because not only was I so awkward, I routinely stuck my foot in my mouth in ways that I still cannot get past. It is so hard to get back into being social after you've been in an isolating season of your life. Maybe that's because you've had young children, you've done a big bout with a health issue, or just in general, you were struggling and you didn't get out much. Or maybe it's a pandemic. I mean, knock on wood. Let's hope that doesn't come around the corner again. Regardless of what the situation is for you, when you are getting back into wanting friends and seeking friendships and doing that in social settings where you need to have conversations, it is a difficult transition and one that I think so many of us have struggled with and think we are the only ones and that everyone else is not only watching and hearing how terrible we are at making friends, they also don't relate to this at all because they're all good at it. Today, I'm going to be sharing with you a coaching call I did with a progressor from our community named Kim. She has been through a couple really isolating years, mainly due to having 3 children quite close together and also during the pandemic. And now she's ready to branch out and she is really seeking some connection and friendships, people who are there for her that she can be there for them too, people who make her feel that she is more than quote unquote just a mom. And her first situation of trying this out at a Christmas party did not go well in ways that are making her second guess not only her capacity to be social, but also herself. Like, who is she now? And is she even worth being a friend to someone else? This is so layered. I think all of us deal with that with friendship in general. And I think this coaching call is going to help you really get clear on why friendship matters to you, why you want to get better at being a better friend, but also how to do so after a particularly isolating season of your life. That's all coming up after a quick break. It may not be the beginning of the year anymore, but it is never too late to create your own do something list. I have a fully updated and free training to help you create a DSL to add more fulfillment, more fun, and more you into your 2024. The results have been life-changing for so, so many. The free training includes a guide, me teaching a workshop in either video or audio form, however you learn best, and tons of updated examples of real DSLs from members of our own community. You can find it all by going to aboutprogress.com/DSL. Kim, thank you for doing this coaching call with me.
Thank you, Monica.
We always love to start with an introduction, so tell us a bit about you.
I am a mom of 3. Originally, they were 3 under 3, but now they are 4, 3, and almost 2. I live in the West Coast of British Columbia. Been married to my husband for, I guess, 7 years, together for forever before that. I stay at home with my kids because going back to work didn't make sense for me when we had kids so close together.
Yeah.
That's me, in a nutshell.
Great. Well, your nutshell sounds something, a nutshell I'm well familiar with.
You're in the
thick of it, for sure, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you're here. And I would like to know what brought you to coaching. What made you think, I want to raise my hand. This is something I need help with.
Over Christmas time, I was just noticing that I don't really know kind of how to be around other people. I can be around my kids and my husband just fine, but we went to a Christmas party seeing people that I'd known, a lot of them before I had kids, and I just didn't even know how to talk to them.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side of that, I'm feeling sort of that early parenthood isolation and loneliness. that I've come back from this party kicking myself about not being able to sort of connect with these people who I do have some amount of shared history with, which in theory should make it easier to, you know, maybe rekindle some kind of friendship or connection. But I just sort of clammed up and didn't do anything about it at all. And then it's just now replaying in my head over and over about all the stuff that I missed out on.
I'm sure a lot of people are nodding their head because they know what this looks and feels like. Whether it's our first kind of forays back into society after the pandemic and forgetting how to have a conversation with somebody, or emerging from a hard season, like you've talked about, of early parent isolation, that is so real. I want to know from you, Kim, why does connection matter to you then? Like, why did you leave feeling let down? What about connection is important to you in this phase?
I think it's just something that I feel I'm missing in my life. I had, I guess you'd call a friendship breakup last year. And so I feel like that really did sort of leave a little bit of a hole in my circle, I guess. And the circle already being pretty small, that hole feels really significant. So I'm not necessarily looking to, you know, replace a best friend kind of thing. But I think it would just be nice to have more connection with other people in my life, because I don't feel like I have very much of that at all right now.
And is this something that throughout your life you can mark the importance of these strong connections? Or is it something that you feel like you have long just kind of wondered about and struggled through?
Yeah, I think through sort of my own therapy and sort of revisiting my own personal history, I haven't had a lot of good friendships. I've had, you know, a few great friendships, and those people don't live necessarily close to me anymore, but there is still some connection there. But sort of looking back, a lot of my friendships, I don't feel were always reciprocal. Like the friendship didn't really go both ways all the time, it seems. Like I was maybe putting in more than I was getting out.
You can share as much as you're comfortable with that, but was that a factor in that more recent friend breakup, that the reciprocation wasn't there?
Yeah, that was part of kind of the lead up to it, I would say.
Okay. Do you feel like you had a say in that shift with that relationship, or was it more put on you?
I think that my husband and I kind of made the ultimate call. So yeah, I do. And I think it was really good for me to stand up for myself and my family in the way that we felt we needed to. That was cathartic and empowering and all those good things. And it was still really hard and upsetting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just giving space to that and, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It was definitely both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it can be both things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you've had those few but deep and meaningful relationships, what difference did that make in your life?
I mean, I would say those friendships happened more before parenthood, but I would say that they would kind of make me feel like more than what I was currently doing with my life. So more than just, you know, someone working to pay the mortgage, or and right now what I'm looking for is to be more than just a mom.
Yeah. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
So we're making some good connections here. And it's funny I use that word, because this does come down to you wanting to be deeply connected in ways that are meaningful, reciprocal, and what's the word here? It's almost like vulnerable too. Like you want to be seen for who you are more than just your role. You described in pre-parenthood times that your friendships made you feel even more than your role at the time, which was primarily working.
Yeah.
And now you're trying to find that sense of connection as someone who can help you feel like you are more than your current primary role, and longstanding be a primary role for both of you and your spouse as a parent. Okay. So as I shared that all, I think it kind of helps to have that little bit of zoom out. When you described that Christmas party, I could just sense that embarrassment, you know, that little bit of just like, oh, I'm bad at this. Or were there any other thoughts that were coming in your head, like both during the party and after, that you like, oh, I can pinpoint these were the things I was kind of saying about myself?
Yeah, I think that there was not a lot of thoughts, and that was the problem. Like it was just blank. And I was like, I don't know what to say. And you know, the typical, like, what have you been up to? And I'm like, I don't know. Changing diapers and cleaning stuff. But like, there is so much more to that. But I did not know how to answer these questions. Nothing would come to mind. It was just like frozen, blank. How do I be around adults right now?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what about the aftermath?
The aftermath, I was just thinking, I was just kicking myself, thinking so many missed opportunities of, you know, you have kids now too. Let's meet up at the park, or let's grab a coffee, or any of those easy things. There could have been, you know, I can think of three at least opportunities that could have led to just getting together with someone.
Okay. Because that's the ultimate goal for you. It's more than just the connection. It's regularly being with other people, having conversations.
Being with people and, you know, just someone to reach out to during the day via text when you're kind of in the thick of the parenting really little kids, and just say, are you going crazy here too? And someone that we could, you know, go for a walk with, go to the park with. Just, yeah, I think both aspects would feel fulfilling to me.
Thank you for letting me ask so many questions there. I think it can give us a lot of clarity on why this even matters and what you ultimately want out of a friendship, more than just what we talked about of it being reciprocal and deep and meaningful, but it also being like kind of more that day-to-day friendship too, where you can just do something with someone and shoot the breeze and, you know, pass the time together. Let's now zoom out and let's get some facts here, because that missed opportunity feeling and the shame and the embarrassment that can come with that kind of letdown, especially after wanting this and having a tough time within a friendship that had mattered to you. That's a big thing. So let's try to understand without the shame, without the guilt, without the like, you dummy, like, why didn't you say anything? Or why didn't you bring anything up? Or why couldn't you just said this? Can you just share maybe why? Like, if you were to look at this objectively outside yourself and think, this is probably why I'm struggling with adult friendships right now. What factors have made this be my reality?
It's probably that I feel lost in my own self. I'm not quite sure who I am now, because so much in my life has changed that, I feel like I am missing part of my identity, or maybe that identity has changed, maybe both. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm really proud of you, because you just skimmed like through multiple layers of the onion and went right for the core.
Oh, great. Okay, good.
That is really good. That's really cool that you were able to do that.
God. Therapy. Great.
I know. Isn't therapy awesome?
Really is.
Okay, so let's honor that. Mm-hmm. I want to come back to that. Let's also think like more circumstantially too. Like, what's been going on?
Yeah.
I've been living in 4 years of basically isolation. Not only due to parenting and being a survival mode of three very small children that are very close together, which takes a tremendous amount of energy. And you were, I think, in a space where you couldn't really prioritize much else besides making sure you were showing up to those responsibilities. Is that accurate for you?
Oh, absolutely. I also had pretty terrible postpartum anxiety and depression, which really just piled on to that isolating feeling.
Okay. The reason why those factors matter is because they influence the behavior. I think it gives us that kind of space to insert some compassion.
Yeah.
What would that compassion sound like to you if you were to put that to words?
I think just giving myself some credit and some grace, and probably not beating myself up so much for both the bigger picture of not knowing who I am, because I haven't been who I am now for very long. So it makes sense that I'm not sure of who that person is. And then on the kind of more granular level as well, as much as I kick myself and I regret not sort of reaching out to the people at the party or at the playgroup or wherever. I think it's okay that I'm not doing it because maybe I'm not there yet. Maybe I have a little bit more digging to do to find out who I am before I can sort of put this person in front of other people.
One of the things that can help us through a difficult moment and processing it where we have some regret, a little like embarrassment and shame, and also process a shift in the season for you and recognizing that your capacity is changing.
Yeah.
And you're ready for more in new ways. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We first do that by zooming out, just like you did, and just kind of zooming out at the bird's eye view, an objective look at what are the factors.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that matters is that we can then insert some compassion, because sometimes we make things mean more than they need to.
Okay. Yeah.
Sometimes we can look at a situation where we put our foot in our mouth. Oh, I had the worst one last year that I'm still thinking about, right? And we can just go to this place where we needlessly make it mean more than it needs to about ourselves.
Yeah.
Even though that deeper core does matter. And we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
But that gives us compassion. Just be like, you know what? No wonder why. No wonder why. I'm out of practice.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't really know what to talk about in this new place. I don't have like work to talk to like I did before. Maybe like these exterior achievements or outcomes that I can point to, or even hobbies that I used to have in my life before. So no wonder why. No wonder why this is happening. So we can have that compassion.
Yeah.
But then we need to zoom in, which you already did.
Yeah.
Good job. You get an A. Zooming in and thinking, well, what is deeper? What is more deeply at play here? It is really fascinating to me that one of the biggest reasons why you wanted to have a friendship in your life again, or to have a couple friendships, is so that you can feel that you are more than your role, that you're a real person.
Yeah.
And yet you were able to pinpoint one of the biggest fears to forming that friendship is that you worry about who that person is, or that they're not even there anymore. That sense of who is that person? Yeah. And you said something here about how maybe, you know, it's about taking my time. And you can do that with compassion. I think there is a way to do that. Like there's a way to say, like, I can gently move through this. But it seems like the side of yourself, that fear side, was saying like, no, you just need to wait until you have that figured out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's contradictory, right?
Totally. Yes. That's so true.
So how can we bring that deeper core, that zoom in, back to this moment of the Christmas party and feeling frozen and not sure what to say? When you freeze, that's just like a nervous system reaction, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it can come from those deeper reasons that we were just talking about, you know, and usually those reasons that create that dysregulation of the nervous system have to do with some type of fear, even if the fear is inside, right? So what are you afraid of in having friendships? What are you afraid of?
I think just the vulnerability piece and opening myself up to potentially, you know, be hurt again, or that this person won't like me, or that I won't like something that they do, and it's just a waste of time, and I don't have a ton of, so I kind of want like a concrete guarantee that things are going to be great before I can start investing any of my time or energy into something, which is completely unrealistic. But I think that's sort of the subconscious things that are happening for me.
Mm-hmm. And the subconscious fears are in place because you want to be kept safe, ultimately.
Yeah.
Okay. And even though it hasn't been fun to have 4 years of survival mode and to have gone through a major friendship transition, to gone through a major identity transition, to deal with so many really valid factors that have influenced your mental health and your sense of who you are and your ability to even function typically as you were used to. I mean, that's a lot. But weirdly, even though those things don't feel good, they're what you know right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're used to them, or you're at least familiar with them.
Yeah.
And so moving past that, even though you're ready for more, can be really scary too.
Yeah.
And that's where we have the fear of vulnerability, fear of being hurt again, fear of rejection, fear of wasting your time, which, my goodness, I don't think people really recognize that's a fear that they have in trying to form friendships, but I think that it's just as valid and weighty as all the others.
I think so.
Let's take a quick break for our sponsors. I've always been a fan of real talk, and I love to do that even about my work here as a podcaster. And the truth is that producing a high quality podcast that airs twice a week takes a lot more time and even money than people may think. One of the weird things that has been happening in the podcasting industry, especially the past year plus, is the struggle to get consistent and well-paying ads. While I have a great ad network that I'm a part of, they are no different than everybody else. You've probably been hearing other podcasters talk about this, that a recent iOS update has massively changed the way that our downloads have been accounted for. And as part of that, our ability to get ads through the show. So we all need ways to make our work possible that are not wholly dependent on ads. About Progress is the same. If you want to keep accessing this content for free, consider financially supporting the show for as little as $2 a month. That's the same price as going to a local 7-Eleven and getting me a nice big soda. As a listener-supported show, you literally keep our lights on. Check out the levels of support and the benefits of being a supporter of About Progress by going to aboutprogress.com/support. And thank you so much. So this is helping us even better understand that freezing response.
Okay.
Is there any other fear in the moment too that you had that, like, what if I sound dumb? Or what if I'm not very interesting? Or what if we don't have much in common? Were there any other fears kind of like that?
Oh, all of those. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Yeah. All of those.
Yeah. How do almost like, how can I seem interesting? How can I impress this person? Which is kind of gross and self-deprecating in a way.
Mm-hmm. Very human.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't have anything good enough to share.
And is that in terms of just like your thoughts and your intellect, or is it more of like, I don't have anything good to share, meaning I don't have anything to show for myself? Like, oh, I did this cool thing, or I went to this place, or I have this achievement.
Yeah, I feel both of those are running through my head. Like, what do I have to show? I mean, other than three lovely kids, they're great. But what do I show for the last, 4 years? Who am I? What do I? Yeah, I don't know.
I'm really proud of your vulnerability here, because I mean, this doesn't feel great. You know, yeah. This isn't like fun. This isn't fun to talk about. It's hard to talk about.
Very,
especially because you're like putting it like right up in your face. Like, this is like, my goodness, what has not changed?
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm going to tell you that even as like I added my fifth kid last January, mm-hmm. I knew what I was getting into. I absolutely knew. I've grown and matured. I've gotten so much better at taking care of myself. I've grown in my identity, my fulfillment, all the things. And I still had that very real moment of holding my baby like 2 weeks in and feeling overwhelmed by the sheer vacuum that this little body was to my entire life, that every single part of my life changed, even down to my ability to brush my teeth.
Yes.
Or get dressed for the day or unload a dishwasher.
Yeah. Yeah. Every facet is impacted.
Every facet. And it doesn't mean that we don't know why we're doing it and that we love that we get to do this and we love the people we're doing it for. But that does matter, though. Okay, mm-hmm. That this shift is huge. We don't want to stay there, though. I don't want to stay in this place. Okay, great. I'm glad we had some good connections. See you later. I want you to get to a place where you now feel like you have a way forward. How do I now move forward from this place? Because I'm ready to move forward. There is a bit more ability for me to push myself past this comfort zone, which is not that comfortable to begin with.
Yeah.
I see two things that do need to be prioritized. Identity, which you talked about. So that's why I'm saying you already know this.
Yeah.
And friendships. Connection. Here's the thing. I do not think one has to come before the other.
Okay.
I think they can work simultaneously. But I think gently, You don't need to now like robocall 20 people and invite them to play dates. You can do this gently. You can start with just one person from that party that you're like, I feel like we would have something in common if I were brave enough to just not be worried about how I sound or how little I have to say. Maybe even if I'm just being transparent, we're like, my goodness, that party was so good, but I realized what a major shift I've been through and I'm having a hard time. Did you experience that? Like, not that you have to go right for the deep stuff. Maybe it's just like, hey, do you want to go grab a coffee?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So gently. But yeah, it is so dumb how everything comes back to identity.
It's so true.
It really does. So I feel like this is an even bigger picture project and one that can also be done gently in prioritizing getting re-familiar with who you are, but even more than that, who you are now.
Yeah.
And who you want to be.
Yeah.
I mean, it will take like 10 coaching calls for us to dig into all of that. So I want you to leave right here with some things that you can do. Let's start with just naming something that you want. Who do you want to be? What kind of part of yourself are you like, I would love to bring that part of myself back again. This is who I'd like to be.
The person that other people want to be around and kind of seek out to do things with or be around or talk to.
Okay. And what kind of qualities would that person have?
They would probably be thoughtful and remember the things that the other person has going on.
Okay.
Have good insights.
That was insightful right there.
Yeah, I think those would be the biggest things.
So when I share this with you, you want to be a person who is thoughtful, present, invested, insightful. Do those feel within your reach?
I think so. I think I could make some time and space to be that person. I want to make some time and space to be that person.
The reason I'm phrasing it this way is because when we're in a place of transition and recognizing like our outcomes can't prop up a self anymore. So who is the deeper person behind it? It actually can feel more reachable.
Okay.
I don't need to say the perfect things. I don't need to have the right get together. I don't need to even ask the right person. I might take a couple persons to kind of figure this out with this friendship thing. I just need to be a thoughtful, present, invested, and insightful person.
Yeah. Okay. That changes things.
In what way?
I feel that takes the pressure off because I don't need to be impressive. I just need to be present.
Ooh. That is a huge shift.
That's a lot more doable than actually being interesting.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And funnily enough, I think these are more in alignment with some deeper values that you have.
Yeah.
It's kind of helping us see some little threads that we're picking up. Oh, this is who I am.
Yeah.
These are the things that matter to me. So it's less about impressing them. It's more about embodying these values, these characteristics.
That's super true. Yeah. It's not what I'm doing. It's just who I am. That's really cool.
Giving you a big round of applause there.
Thank
you. Isn't it funny how that's both deeper but more doable?
Yeah, it's deeper but almost so much smaller in a way.
So think about like that Christmas party. Okay, let's like put ourselves back in the shoes. And let's say that you are being a thoughtful, present, invested, and insightful person. How would that have changed the way you approach that party or some conversations you had? What would be different about the outside, the actual behavior? What would be different?
I think I can right off the bat think of what I could say to the person. So instead of trying to think of something really cool I'd done, I could just say, how are you finding motherhood? How has it changed for you? because that's more in alignment with the kind of person that I want to be. I don't want to be the person kind of like broadcasting and peacocking. I want to just be listening.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of finding something amazing, racking my brain for something super cool that I'd done recently, I could ask questions.
And that question was like, that was a good one. I was like, oh, wow, I can answer that. Like, I want to answer that, you know? And it makes me feel like you care.
Yeah, which is the person I want to be. So that would have been a good place to start.
So this is where we start.
Yeah.
Okay. It's how would a thoughtful, present, invested, insightful, and I'm sure there's other characteristics you can think of.
Mm-hmm.
How would that person act? How would that person reach out to someone that they've not really spent a lot of time with, but they think, oh, I'm curious about that kind of friendship? Like, how would they reach out to them? What would they say? What kind of things would they be willing to do? What questions would they ask? And doing something to act that part. Not because it's false. This mm-hmm. is a different kind of acting. It's more about acting the part you already are.
Yeah.
You're just bringing it back up again. It's not being someone you're not. It's being someone you really are.
Right. Right. Now that you've kind of, or now that I've recognized what components to sort of put back up on the shelf,
mm-hmm.
do those things.
And this is where weirdly, when I said like identity and friendships are the two paths here, I think they can be blended together. In trying to seek these friendships and forming more connections, how can you embody these pieces of yourself that you would like to be? And that can give you more insight on other things that you want to do or try, or ways that you can lean in to yourself. Like maybe you'll find, oh, I want to be creative. So what would a creative person do in some time that they've created for themselves? I'm not even going to say free time, because I don't think you have any free time. It's just more like, how could I create some time to invest my creativity? Or, ooh, I want to be the person who appreciates beauty or is amazed by the outdoors, or, you know, so you can kind of think more about what that looks like. We're just picking up pieces.
Right.
And we're following the threads here.
Yeah.
That does that give you more of a path forward from here?
I think it does. Yeah. I always find when you're listening to podcasts or seeing things, when they say you need to find your why, I don't roll my eyes necessarily, but I think that must not be that important. So I don't think I've ever actually, like you said, pulled at those strings to find out what they're attached to. But I can see now that I was kind of silly to overlook that, because it is what's really important, is to go down, follow the line and see where it's, what it's attached to, because now it does seem really simple.
Mm-hmm. And you also have that deeper why behind what kind of friendships you want. Because honestly, you were describing the kind of friendship you want too. Not just the person you want to be, the kind of person you want to find in a friend.
That's so true. Yeah.
That can give you a compass on how to navigate. That's because there's probably is a level of insecurity of like, wow, I kind of didn't pick a good one before. So, or that was a really painful friendship, or it turned painful. And, you know, I didn't navigate it as wisely as I wanted to for a long time until I did. And I, like, do I trust myself in like picking these people? Like, yes, let's start with these threads.
Yeah. Yeah.
What action do you think you can take from here that seems like, oh, I'm going to do this next. I feel this is right to me.
Well, I had actually already reached out to someone to go for a walk. We ended up having to reschedule because of a sick kid. But I actually feel like I know what to say now, which is not say much and just ask questions. Like I would ask that same question about, well, how has motherhood changed things for you? And like, have you had the same sort of massive identity shift? Because I think most parents must go through that. And whether or not they come out on the other side a completely different person or not, I do think they go through that period of not knowing quite who they are. So I think it would just also be really interesting to hear other people's stories about how it's changed for them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, to add, and that's not really something that I felt or even considered asking of anyone before, but now I want to know.
And that came totally from you. Like that was you. That was not me giving you a prescription of here's what you need to say. You already knew.
Yeah.
And when you were thinking about embodying those characteristics, that question came to mind, and others will too.
Yeah.
Okay, they will. They will come up organically as you're just trying to embody who you want to be as a friend, as a person. Okay, two things I'll just say very briefly. Mm-hmm. One, friendship is a skill. And this is coming from someone who would love to be alone the rest of her life. Like that's just my tendency. But my word of the year is people, Kim.
Good one.
I know. And it's after years too of feeling similarly pushed to prioritize connections and understanding the true deeper meaning and benefits and love and what life is all about that comes from it, you know? So this has been a work in progress for me for years too. So I'm just going to give you that little nugget there. Friendship is a skill and you're going to get back into this. You will figure it out and you'll get better at it. And the last thing I'll say too is consider a do something list as a way to prioritize your own fulfillment and kind of picking up those old threads and finding new ones and weaving them all together to what's coming. Do you know about the do something list? You nodded when I said that. Okay.
Yeah. I did one last year and I'm going to go through your workshop you did to do.
Awesome. Yeah, okay, good. And that's not like a plug. I mean, that's like all free stuff. That was a huge tool for me when I had three very small children and was in a very similar space. So, okay. Before we go, we've got some action steps. Yeah. Okay. Go, you know, getting together with that friend, having the conversation. You can report in to me. I would love to hear how that goes, good or for bad. Like just let me know. And the last thing I like to always end on is what is one thing you want to take away from this conversation and make sure you remember?
I guess that I am still in here somewhere. And I'm not an entirely different person. I think that those values that we talked about are the same as they've always been for me, but I probably never took the time to state them. So I think I've become more and more introspective as a parent and partially forced into that by the pandemic. I do know who I am and I just need to trust myself to kind of dig a little bit deeper and find myself in there again.
Yeah, that is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. Oh, I love it. And that sure feels a lot better than mid-conversation.
Yeah.
Right? When that feeling when we're just kind of sitting in like the reality.
Yeah.
But this is reality too.
Yeah.
Again, you said at the beginning, both. This is both too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not all lost. It's hard to be in this place, but it's not all lost. You're still in there. It's both.
Yeah, I love that.
Well, I think that's a note to end on. Oh, thank you so much, Kim. This was fantastic.
Thank you. I'm going to go text everyone I know.
Oh, good. Okay. I hope this episode gave you the hug and kick in the pants you need to grow. I'll now share the progress pointers from this episode. These are the notes I took so you don't have to, and those on my newsletter get them in a graphic form each week. You can sign up at aboutprogress.com/newsletter. Number one, friendship matters for connection, to feel seen for who you are outside of your roles, and to have supportive day-to-day interactions and outside care. Number two, if you're struggling in social settings, objectively ask yourself how your life circumstances have and are contributing to that. Number three, then zoom in to better understand the core of why you feel insecure in these situations, including answering the question, what am I afraid of? Knowing these factors help you insert compassion to better show up with time. And number four, think about the type of friend you want to be and the qualities they would have. Then try to embody those qualities as you take some risks in reaching out to and connecting with people. This is really an important topic, and I know in large part not just because of this conversation, but because Taylor, my podcast manager, and I are in the middle of preparing a special episode for my premium show, More Personal, that is accessible to supporters of the show. And the topic we are preparing to talk on is making friends as an adult and how challenging this is. And I recently did a poll on my Instagram page about this. And I asked some questions like, why is it so hard, do you think, to make friends as an adult? I've got to tell you, there are a few questions I've asked on stories like that that have had so many responses so quickly. It is a big issue for so, so many women. So if you are feeling the same as Kim, know you are not alone. And also know that in addition to the help that we've shared today, we have more coming in that More Personal Premium episode. And that will air in mid-April. So you are welcome to join us now so that you can have access then. And you can do so by becoming a bestie or ride or die supporter and go to aboutprogress.com/support to sign up. While the show is listener supported, you don't have to be an official supporter to do that. You can support the show for free by simply sharing this episode with a friend who you know can relate. If there's one thing I know in all of my work with this podcast and what has extended from it and these touchy topics that we think we're alone with, we are not. We are not the only ones who are wondering and struggling with something. So share it. Share this topic with someone that you know, and maybe they'll be able to relate. And this could be one of those springboards to more of a connection and a relationship and a friendship for you. Thank you so much for listening. Now go and do something with what you learned today.